The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Trinity is in Proverbs chapter 25. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver, like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. This is our sermon text. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox, has fallen into a pit on a Sabbath day, will he not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, Luke chapter 14, 1 to 11. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus deals with the Pharisees, who were literally his mortal enemies. His constant criticism of the scribes and Pharisees caused such a commotion in the synagogues and temple establishment that they felt that they had no other option than to put him to death, which eventually they did. Our gospel lesson this morning demonstrates two topics in which Jesus and the Pharisees clashed. First, the topic of the Sabbath, and second, the issue of self-promotion. Verses 1 to 6 deal with the issue of the Sabbath. Jesus was invited to dinner at the house of one of the high-ranking officers in the Pharisee party. Jesus' visit was planned by the Pharisees in order to entrap him, and Jesus knew this in advance. As soon as Jesus was seated, a man appeared with the dropsy. This is the accumulation of fluid under the skin. Today it is known as edema. This was a severe case, not the minor and local form of edema you might get due to mosquito bites or poison oak. Jesus immediately knew what the religious issue was here. It was working on the Sabbath. Several centuries prior, the Pharisees had carefully codified what work you could do on the Sabbath. The healing of a man or woman by a doctor was not permitted on the Sabbath, even in emergency cases. Imagine that. The ER being closed on Sunday, and you cannot use it. They taught that using the healing arts on a Sabbath was a violation of the third commandment, and thus a direct offense against God because it's part of the first table. In doing this, the Pharisees had added to the doctrines of Moses in the Pentateuch. Jesus rebuked the trap and the doctrine of the Pharisees in one. He healed the man with the dropsy and sent him on his way rejoicing. Jesus then pointed out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees' legal system. If their child or their animal fell into a wall on the Sabbath, they could rescue them. But they could not go to the doctor or to Jesus for healing on the Sabbath, even if it was a matter of life and death. Go figure. In the Christian doctrine of the Sabbath, a weekly resting from work is done chiefly to make possible the gathering of the Christian community for worship. Ever since the time of the apostles, the church has gathered on Sundays, and we Lutherans follow that tradition. If all businesses were open on Sundays, but were mostly closed on Thursdays, we Lutherans would change our primary worship service to Thursday mornings. The idea is to have a common day off, so that as many people as possible can worship together. This is how Martin Luther explains the third commandment in his large catechism, which now I quote. Luther says, "We keep holy days first for the sake of bodily need. Nature teaches and demands that the common people, manservants and maidservants, who have attended to their work and trades the whole week long, should retire for a day to rest and be refreshed. Secondly, and most especially, we keep holy days so that people may have time and opportunity, which otherwise would not be available, to participate in public worship, that is, that they may assemble to hear and discuss God's word, and then praise God in song and prayer." End of quote. Verses 7 to 14 in our gospel then deal with the issue of self-promotion. Jesus noticed how the Pharisees and their friends were vying for the places of honor at the table. He gave the example of a wedding feast, but could have also quoted verses 6 to 7 in our Old Testament lesson today. That's Proverbs 25, 6 to 14. Verse 7 there states, I'll repeat it, "It is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a nobleman." This rejection of self-promotion has much wider application than dinner etiquette. Luther comments about this in his Hauspostel, that is a collection of sermons, for this particular gospel lesson. And I quote this one at length. Quote, Luther says, "This gospel teaches us that we are not to be presumptuous and exalt ourselves. Christ is not condemning the various stations in life, that one individual has greater status than another, since such differences must necessarily obtain here on this earth. Fathers and mothers have authority over their children, a sovereign over his subjects, a pastor over his parishioners in matters pertaining to his office in God's word. One cannot dispense with such differences in this world because rank and position vary. What then does it mean to exalt oneself? What corrupts the situation is to elevate oneself and discredit others in their rightful place and calling. To be in a position of authority is not wrong if it is either by God's ordaining or the orderly election of one's fellow man. But to elevate oneself is wrong. If one usurps authority, that is wrong. What it means to exalt oneself is to scramble higher than what God ordains or is given by the votes of the people. Some individuals have a restless disposition which is never satisfied until they are on top. Others give the appearance of wanting to be helpful and accomplish something useful. But when they reach the top, they're only concerned with furthering their own ends, having a good time, receiving honor, and a life of ease. However, no one is given an office to enhance life for himself and for his glory, but rather that he might work faithfully in service to his fellow men." End of quote from Luther. Now, this is all related to Martin Luther's doctrine of vocation. How it applies to you as an individual depends on the vocations that you hold as an individual. If you are a husband, God has given you that office not to enhance your own life, but to work faithfully in service by the care and nurture of your wife and the raising of children. If you are a wife, God has given you that office not to enhance your own life, but to work faithfully in service by the care and nurture of your husband and the raising of your children. If you're presently a student, your job at the present point of life is to prepare yourself as best as you are able for the future vocations that you may hold in life. If you are an employee, there is nothing wrong with developing your skills through adult education, through on-the-job training, and through other opportunities. Self-promotion, as Luther and Jesus criticize it, means to activities at work by which you attempt to get ahead by unethical means, including cheating, lying, excessive fraternizing with the boss, and demeaning or discrediting your colleagues. Self-promotion also refers to behavior by which you seek social status in the community through similarly unethical means. Now, in this matter of exalting oneself, we are all guilty to one extent or another. For such sins, we ask our God for forgiveness and know that he gladly grants forgiveness to us for Jesus' sake. Jesus suffered and died on the cross for your sins of self-promotion just as much as anything else that you do wrong or fail to do right. In conclusion, I remind you what Luther says about Sundays and holidays. That is, that we observe such days, quote, so that people may have time and opportunity, which otherwise would not be available, to participate in public worship. That is, that they may assemble to hear and discuss God's word, and then praise God in song and prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.